Please stand for the reading of Scripture. Today's reading is from Revelation 4. After this, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature, like a lion, the second living creature, like an ox, the third living creature, with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature, like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by you, your will, they existed and were created." Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Felicia. Thank you. We did our eschatology boot camp yesterday, and on Friday, I failed to end the class, so we had to do an extension. So not this next Sunday, but the following Sunday, we'll conclude that lecture before the service. If you want to come, you're allowed to. You just have to watch the 6 hours before it. For those who would like that, it's going to be before the service. Probably going to need to be at 8:30. One last thing, too, and in a couple weeks, we're going to have the Thanksgiving dinner. And I love that dinner. So not only because of the turkey, but because it's just a fun night. When I look at the scripture sometimes, I want to ask, why is it there? When you look at the life of Christ, you have John talks about the different miracles and the different things that Christ taught, and they didn't put it all within the scriptures. They chose selective teachings and events from the life of Christ to present before the reader so as to convict them and cause them to respond to the motivation for why they wrote those gospels. Why Revelation chapter 4? It's only the third occurrence. It's only happened two times before where somebody is allowed to enter the throne room. Seven churches, and you had seven commands. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation 2:7. Revelation 2:11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Scriptures. I'm not going to read all seven of them, but I'll read four. Revelation 3:22. He who has an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Seven times the Lord makes this declaration after evaluating his churches. I bet. I was just going to ask the kids, but I don't have to just ask the kids. I bet if I asked every single one of them in this room the question, have you ever heard your parents say, how many times do I have to tell you this? We are all familiar with the parental, not children yet, but one day you may, and according to God's wisdom, if you become a parent, the regular habit of repeating yourself. Parents carry God-given authority, and it's reasonable to recognize that even though that authority exists, that even you just can't say it once. It's a required repetition. My poor mother. But in the same way that God has viewed his authority, he often appeals to that parental role. And he graciously, willingly repeats himself. But while he repeats himself, it's not a blanketed, unexpected statement. He was willing to repeat himself with the expectation that ultimately, one time, they will. Read like in 1 John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. We find ourselves as children, and he relates to us in this parental role, and you can see that in his evaluations of the seven churches. He repeatedly is willingly and fatherly willingly to repeat himself. And let's be just clear and fair. Even with the regular occurrence of my mother repeating herself, there was a set of words that she could say that could produce hope or incredible fear. And you may be familiar with them. Wait till your father gets home. Now, the phrase could be said in two ways, and the tone always determined the accusation or the consequence. Wait till your father gets home could produce hope that he could fix the toy that I just broke. Or the discipline required would not be applied effectively through my mother, but through my father. And I loved my father. Growing up, I remember boasting, still do, about him. I remember sitting in a tree arguing with the kids at recess whose dad was the strongest. And my dad, of course, ruled them all. He was strong, he was athletic, and he was fun, and he never let us win. So we always knew how great he was. And he worked so hard. I don't understand like how he could work all day long and then come to the farm and then work till dark. You know, it always seemed like he never wore out. And yet, in that, I found as I watched my father, like, hope. And the reality of that, too, is that in all that strength that I experienced, I also experienced a little bit of fear as I recognized who this person was. I think children, as I would say even myself, take for granted the efforts that parents do in the lives of their children. Often, we are totally unaware as children of the things that are scary in this world. And yet, in all of that, Christ's evaluation to the church, he takes this position of tenderness, but then also this parental expectation that as he says these things, he is indeed repeating himself with expectation. And in with the expectations, if there is not obedience, there is going to be severe consequence. Revelation 3:19, as we looked last week, those whom I love, I reprove, I expose, I bring out into the obvious position, and then I discipline. I reprove and I discipline, so be zealous and repent. Revelation 3:20, but I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and eat with him and he with me. So the one who conquers, I'll grant him. So he's tenderly, he's calling to obedience, and he's going to give a reward for obeying his voice, and I'll grant him to sit with me on my throne. Also conquer and sat down with, as I also conquered and sat down with my father on his throne. And he says, the familiar phrases that we have heard now seven times in our walk through Revelations 2 and 3, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Why in the world, after these seven evaluations, the throne room? You and I often, just like we belittle the image of our fathers, do that with God. There is, when you, this has only happened two other times, I've already said this, where an individual gets access to the throne room. And the two others before this occurrence, which would be the third, they fall flat on their face. Isaiah, he saw the Lord sitting upon a high and lifted up throne. And he talks about the robe that sat upon the one on the throne that had filled the entire room that he was in. And there were seraphim who had six wings, two to cover their face, totally covering themselves from the glory of the one on the throne, and then two to fly, for their feet were unworthy to sit upon the place where he reigned. When Isaiah saw it, the throne room's floor just shook. Why would Isaiah, why would God grant his people a few occasions to see him in such a majestic manner? Isaiah saw it. Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Ezekiel, he's the other one that gets this rare occurrence where he gets to see the throne room of God. And as he sees it, he's seeing things that he is unable to quite describe. And so he tries to pull from things that we would be familiar with and then says it's like that, but it's not like that. There's this creature, it has four heads, and it's got a head of a man, an ox, a lion, and an eagle. And they flew, and when they flew, it was like the sound of many waters, but it wasn't water. And so all he's doing is he can't describe what he sees. But when he sees what he sees, above all this activity, up above them is the one who sits upon a throne. And he has a hard time even describing him, Ezekiel 1:26. And above the expanse, over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne, and the appearance of the like of sapphire, and seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness. And he's lost all categories. And the one sitting had the likeness of a human appearance. Ezekiel 1:27, upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as I were gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around, and downward from what had the appearance, it's just appearance. He can't describe it accurately. Brilliance, brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. Christ has just evaluated his churches, seven of them. He has related to them as a father. And then he pulls back in chapter 4 and he says, John, the door is open. Let them see me. Sometimes we make Christ so approachable that there is no fear that when he says, stay away from sexual immorality. Or to the Church of Philadelphia, you're going the right way, keep going. He who has an ear, let him hear. My hope, I think, over this vision which John has given, it actually covers two chapters, but we're just going to look at the first part today and the next week, is that by seeing these things, the throne room of God, that God's people hear the phrase, he who has an ear, let him hear, now hear it totally differently than they did before. It's not just a recommendation, but it is a command which requires obedience, but at the same time, for those who are being obedient, incredible hope. So what I want to do is just, let's dwell on today, Revelation 4, and have the category of God in our minds exalted, because that's what John, or the Lord wants John to see and be given to the church. Let them see me in all my authority. So that the words, he who has an ear, let him hear, become something. Let them see my throne. Verse 2, and once I was in the spirits, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on a throne. 14 times in this chapter alone, the word throne pops up. It occurs, I think, somewhere of like 24 times in the whole book of Revelation. But 14 in this, and if you include the whole vision, which would be chapter 5, it's 19. It's throne, 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 throne. What's the point? I sit on the throne. I get to make the rules. That's the point. I reign. Look at verses 5 and 6. You'll see it's like almost every other word. It doesn't feel that way. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are seven spirits of God. And before the throne, it's just like every other phrase. Let's just slide it in there. When John has this vision of the one on the throne, you'll notice he doesn't describe the one on the throne. It's the throne that he's describing. Just like Isaiah and Ezekiel, they're like, they can describe everything around it except for the one that looks like is on it. And their attention is focused on the one on the throne who has sovereign authority. Now that will change the way it should. Change the way you hear the phrase, he who has an ear, let him hear. It's this ultimate authority that exists in the mind of his people. And there was before the throne there was as it were a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. God, the head of the church, reigns. It is a term which can only mean, the term throne, all it means is chair of authority. The throne or the chair takes its position, which is of high authority because of the one who sits on it. Most honor of all creation, it is the throne of glory. Look at verse 3. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow similar to what Ezekiel describes that had the appearance of an emerald. Now, some people have tried to draw this stuff. I don't think you need to. I think God has given us minds as it's read, you see it, as it's meant to be described. Like, when he sat, he had the appearance of, the thing that is interesting with Ezekiel and John, the way that they describe the one seating is relating it to rocks. And my kids have always liked rocks. I think it's a still pretty popular thing to like rocks. But the thing that's interesting about rocks is that those rocks are always there. They were there before I was born, and they'll be there after I'm gone. And in the midst of the world of rocks that God has created, there are unique and treasured rocks, yet still remain the same, that were there before me and then will be there after me. John points to, he's like a rock, beautiful, like, I could bring a rock and I could point at it and say, this is a rock, and you're not. I could do that. God is, he's not a rock. He's like a rock, beautiful. And he is here, whether you're here or you're not. He is sitting on a throne and he is beautiful. That's why he gets to make the rules and say, he who has an ear, let him hear. What is it about humanity amongst all of God's creation when he says to the sun, you start at this time of the day and then you're going to rotate like this and then you're going to create a sunrise and then a sunset, and it does it every single day without fail. It goes through its pathway, never acting disobedient to the command of God. And yet within God's creation, there is a creature which when told, don't eat of that tree, we think, oh, really? Why is it, children, that you and I am a child, have to be told 7 times over, clean your room? There is something wrong with the heart of humanity. That even though Jesus, who has redeemed his church, he has to still say, after they've been redeemed from sexual immorality and all sorts of sin issues, say, stay away from sexual immorality. Listen to my voice alone. And repetitively has to remind us of such things. And yet parents, it's true. You know it as much as I do. It's frustrating to repeat yourself. But yet, as we look at God, then we recognize, yeah, that is what God has done for us. Faithfully repeating himself, reminding us of the standard which he has set before us, even though we are more than disqualifying to be even in his presence, that he still graciously reminds us, calling us to repentance. Let them see me in my throne. Kids, adults, from his throne. He can't describe whom the one looks like. He appeals to rocks, but look at verse 5. So cool. Flashes of lightning coming forth from the throne. Rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire. It's awesome. I lived in Texas. Like Tri-Cities occasionally will have a thunderstorm, but in the 13 years I have been here, I have wanted a good thunderstorm. I remember the first time in Texas, like the thunderstorm hit. Cars are driving off the roads and parking because when it just dumps, it's buckets, and the window wipers just don't flat. They go so fast that you can't, and you just gotta go park. What's so cool about a thunderstorm in Texas, what can be cool about it, is if you're in a place of safety. If you're sitting from your house and you can look out and you can watch the clouds come by and you sit and you watch the scene unfold, and as the thunderstorm goes away and you see it go past one's eyesight, you sit there and you go, that was awesome. But only one says that in the place of safety. Before, I've been on the golf course when the thunderstorm come and we have these metal objects that we're holding. I quickly dispersed of the objects and ran as far as to the bathroom. And it is, the odds are there. I know the odds are there, and I'm not going to test it. So you run. The point being is, let them see my throne. And it's, at one side, it is awesome. And at the other time, it's terrifying. And he sits in it, in control of it. It's serving him. Peals of thunders, rumbling, flashes of lightning. And before it is the Spirit of God revealed in the 7 torches. Do you hear? He who has an ear, let him hear as a whisper. Or the one who controls all creation is now at his service. The thing which would terrify you, it is in submission to him. Verse 6. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass. Just as Ezekiel saw it, John sees it like crystal. An expanse of sea that separates one from the throne from the rest of his creation. Author of Hebrews will do this as well as he pleads with those who are nearing apostasy. Raise the extraordinary view of God in your mind and it will strengthen faith and give good reverence, which will create obedience. On the one hand, like to the church of Philadelphia, when he says, he who has an ear, let him hear. In Revelation 3:11, the one who possesses all this authority, you hear hope when you see the one on the throne who controls lightning and thunder, when he says, just hold fast. Hold fast. It's hope what you have so that no one may seize your crown. I'm coming. It's hope because he's in control. Yet, at the same time, while Christ being on his throne can be hope to one church, it can be incredibly terrifying to the other, like Laodicea. I know your works, Revelation 3:15. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear. How does that sound? It's not blanket threats. It comes with a fatherly expectation of obedience. And it's highly motivating. So at the same time, I could look at my father and I'd be so, like, he's the strongest. But at the same time, in that I found hope in his strength, at the same time, I found fear. But that's just my dad. God is far more than that. But he uses the image of a father to reflect to his church something we should be very familiar with. Let them see my throne. And not only let them see my throne, let them see the throne room and who's there. Verse 4, we really have focused up to this point just on the one on the throne and what's coming forth from the throne. But at times, John looks around the room and you see four other thrones. And around the throne, there were other thrones. Seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. Now, everybody wants to know, who are the elders? We don't know. Some will say it's elders represented in the church age. Some will say it's 12 of the patriarchs of the Old Testament and 12 apostles. I try to caution from trying to figure it out when it's not being told to us by an angel. But I do think there are hints in that they're just heavenly beings. They're always included with the four other creatures. And all they do within the throne room is they reflect who God is as an act of worship. They see who he is on the throne and they declare who he is in act of worship. They are counted amongst the four creatures. And so I like to think that they are, now I'm willing to change my mind, but they are just heavenly creatures that we have yet not seen. My kids and I often wonder, like, are there creatures out there that we have never, like, found out yet? Yes, 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 yes. Right? Like, just look at Ezekiel and look at this passage. Like, John and Ezekiel see creatures they have never seen before, and all they can do is it looks like an eagle. But it's not an eagle, but it looks like it. It looks like an ox. Well, this one has four heads. Could you, kids, imagine that? That's cool. The problem is that means they can see everything. And that's exactly what you see with the four creatures. They're covered with eyes, right? The point being, right, nothing is escaping their notice, and they've been in the throne room of God, and when they say, "Worthy is he," they say it with full understanding that it could not escape their notice how wonderful and glorious he is. It's true. I know it because my mom would tell me something. She doesn't, well, she kind of has eyes in the back of her head, but you could occasionally maybe get out of something. But creatures that have eyes that are covering their entire body have full awareness of what this one is on the throne like. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That is their declaration because they see it. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. They see it, the 24 and the four creatures, and they echo his glories as an act of worship. There are things we have yet to see concerning God's creation. Let me go to our convictional response. So what's the point? John, let them see me. And let them see how my throne room, those within it, react to me. He's the center of all the attention. Approachable but unapproachable. Glorious yet present. Awesome and yet terrifying. And they who are in the throne room delight daily to declare whom he is. He's the center of all their attention. John, I've just evaluated the seven churches, and my evaluation is not just for them, but for the churches who all have an ear and the ability to hear what I say. That I become the center of their attention as well. That we would become a people, verse 11, upon seeing the same thing through his word or through their testimony. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you've created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. When you hear the phrase, which Christ has repeated over and over and over and over again, how do you hear it? How do you hear it? Are you dismissive of certain parts of his voice? Are you? Forgive them, for they, if you do not, I will not forgive you. It's not a recommendation. You know the gospel. We know the gospel. We strive to remind each other of the gospel, that God is the author of everything. And that within his creation, he created humanity with the unique responsibility to reflect within the earth who he is before all of his creation that he's created as an act of worship, just like the 24 elders, just like the four living creatures do within the throne room we are to do upon earth. Know his word, to know his standards, to reflect his grace, to reflect his patience. Fathers, to reflect who he is as a father And a mother is to reflect his nurturing ability as a mother can only do. And yet, we all know that the bad part about the gospel is that we do not do that. We do not join in the song of the elders nor the living creatures, and we have sin. But in the midst of the consequence of sin, God promised us a Messiah. And there has been only one amongst humanity who has perfectly sang that song for us, Christ Jesus, and voluntarily offered himself up as the payment of our unwillingness to reflect who God is in act of worship, atoning for us on the cross, dying, and on the third day, rose again, providing to those who believe and respond in faith the opportunity now to see Christ as the righteous standard by which we reflect God to the rest of the world as an act of worship. That's the gospel. And so when we recognize that standard, what does that mean? Jesus gets to make the rules. He reflects to us. He approaches us. He stands above us like a father. Which is why we saw last week in Revelation chapter 3, as he reveals himself and evaluates the church of Laodicea, I love and reprove, verse 19, and discipline. So he's awesome. Which gives us hope when we act in obedience. Some of the sweetest times with my family was when I was in obedience. Yet it is a terrifying thing as well to be under such power. Who controls lightning itself. The author of Hebrews says, it is a terrifying thing to find yourself in the hands of an angry God. What do you hear when he says, he who has an ear, let him hear? What's the tone? In obedience, it should be encouragement. Keep going. Hold fast. If it's sin, it's not the same tone. Church, it's a plea towards repentance. Why the throne room scene? To show us that. To exalt our Father in our minds, to find hope, and yet at the same time, is a good reverence for who he actually is. So that when he speaks, we join in like the 24 elders and the four living creatures, which will be fun to see one day, responding with the lives that we've been given in an act of worship, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed, and were created. Let's pray.